My name is Monica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a junk food addict. I just wanted to start with one of my favorite prayers. It's on page 63 of the Big Book. It's the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. I love that prayer because it takes me out of myself and it focuses on the guidance of my higher power. I came into the rooms, so I'll just qualify. I came into the rooms of OA in December of 2020 after having lost about 30 pounds, but unable to release the next 20. And I knew I needed something outside of myself. I didn't know that I needed a power greater than myself. And since joining OA, I have lost the additional 20 pounds. And by the grace of my higher power, I have not found it. I have a sponsor and a sponsee, and I lead meetings on OA Footsteps and volunteer in other meetings. I got married to a very great person on September 3rd of this year, and I'm so happy to be in OA because that means that I can have a sane marriage. In the early days of my life, there was just a mom, dad, me, and my brother, and a dog, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan. And we weren't rich or poor. I wasn't super skinny. I wasn't obese because I was always active and into sports. I love food a lot ever since I could remember. And my absolute favorite food was other people's food. If you had it, I wanted it. And I think I may have eaten my fair share of the family's food because one of my father's favorite nicknames for me as a child was Pig Girl. He even made up a song about it and would sing it mockingly to me whenever I would take his or other people's food or get second or third helpings or when I would eat between meals. So anyway, I wasn't terribly popular as a child. I was a little unpopular. I think that's because I'm bipolar. I was not diagnosed as bipolar until I was about 28 years old. So that's about 9 years ago. And as a child, I would say things impulsively, eat compulsively, act out at times, and it caused me to have low self-esteem. I wanted to go to a therapist when I was younger, but my parents said, "Oh, you get good grades, you're fine." As a young adult, I was very, very rebellious. I was excited I could finally drink alcohol, so I drank as much as I wanted to. And I started to drink every morning. I would drink before work, during work, on the way to work. I would have nefarious relationships with all sorts of random people. I was violent. Needless to say, I'm lucky to be alive. I was, or I am, a civil rights lawyer and immigration lawyer, but I made very little money. And I started to become unhappy with my life and having a lack of support. So one day I decided, in all my insanity and brilliance, that I was going to kill myself. I was just tired of life. I made a plan, but my plan failed because on my way out of the door of the house to execute my plan, I ran into my roommate's dog. And he looked at me and he gave me this look like, "Monica, are you really about to leave me?" And that struck me like, I can't do this. But what I did do is I packed up my bags and I left for Chicago. And I stayed with one of my clients there, and I was going to live and work with her there at a restaurant. And I called my former boss, who's also my friend, and I told her what I was going through. And we decided that I needed a medical intervention. And so I came back to Detroit and checked myself into a psychiatric hospital and stayed there for 8 days. And I've been on medication ever since then. And my mania and depression is more under control now. I decided at a certain point to supplement being a lawyer with being a nurse. So I pursued a bachelor's in nursing. And it was at that point where I gained more weight than I ever had in my entire life. Previously, I had never been over about 170 pounds. And then at that point, I was almost 200 pounds. And that's because I would study at a coffee shop and eat pastries all day. And I would, you know, I would bring my own lunch, trying to be healthy, but I could not resist the compulsion to go over to like Whole Foods and which was right across the parking lot and just get macaroni and cheese and a whole array of other items. And I would study at my parents' house and I would get pretty embarrassed when my boyfriend or my mother would see me and they would see me eating and ask, like, didn't you just eat? And at that point, like, I wouldn't dabble into a dessert here or there, or eat three healthy meals a day. I would have two breakfasts, two lunches, and a dinner with lots of snacks in between. And I would repeat this day after day, month after month, swearing not to do it again and then doing it again. And it was like having a two-year-old inside my body that wants the food and the candy and the junk. And she wants it when she wants it, how she wants it. And that stayed with me for the past 35 years of my life. And that little two-year-old, I would call my lower inner self. And she doesn't care if I get diabetes and die like my uncle did. He literally died from overeating on American-style Chinese food and pizza, even after he was told to stop by medical professionals. My lower inner self is a rebel. She demands comfort from food at all costs. My lower inner self rebelled against all the diets and made sincere promises that my eating would change after this one last bite. But clearly, you know, one was too many and 100 was not enough. And on every diet, I would lose a little weight and gain it back. I even did CrossFit for a while, which I love, but for medical reasons, I had to stop. But I participated in CrossFit in this weight loss challenge where I lost 16 pounds in 2 weeks. And then I literally gained it all back in less than 2 days because in an 18-hour period, I ate at about seven different fast food restaurants, like just one after the other after the other. And one day in December of 2020, when I was crocheting a sweater, I was listening to a weight loss podcast because I was obsessed with weight loss and at the same time obsessed with actively eating candy and other junk food. Around the fourth episode of the podcast, one of the therapists mentioned Overeaters Anonymous might be helpful for some people. And I was like, wow, there's actually a program for food addicts. I had been in AA for a few years, so I knew that there was power in numbers and in fellowship. And so I, you know, looked up OA and went to the very first meeting I could find. And it was a newcomers meeting and I've been coming back ever since. I got my sponsor out of that first meeting who's in New York. Actually on a business trip, I got to meet my sponsor for the first time. So I was very excited about that. And I got all the OA books and it was just, you know, it's changed my life. I relapsed a couple times in the beginning. And at a certain point, my sponsor told me that there's a difference between a relapse and a slip. A slip might be a one-time small occurrence, while something like an all-out binge is more of a relapse. But some people in OA say that abstinence is the most important thing in their lives. And I think that's something to really consider because it's a really big statement. Why would abstinence be bigger than my higher power or my future children or humanity itself? I think the answer is that if I didn't have abstinence, I couldn't enjoy those things because I would be dead. I was in a big book study and the takeaway was that this isn't a program for people who want it. It's not a program for people who need it. It's a program for people who do it. And, you know, part of the definition of abstinence in OA is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. Therefore, I attend about 1 to 2 meetings a day. But there's the other 20 to 23 hours a day where my food obsession is doing push-ups, jumping jacks, lifting 100-pound weights to get me to pick up my non-abstinent foods or eat compulsively or overeat. And I'm the type of addict that eats and does other harmful things to get high, to get that state of euphoria and to pacify the cravings. And so the question is, you know, when you just want to get a high, like, what do you do? And I really found the answer to that on page 21 of the OA's 12 and 12. It says, how do we get through these times without returning to compulsive overeating? And it just says, don't panic. You know, number one, quietly reaffirm our personal guidelines. Number two, ask our higher power to help us continue living within them. Three, turn away from the food and eating. And four, focus our attention on our OA fellowship and the 12 steps. As we work the steps using the tools of the program, we find the help we need. And for me, in those situations, like it says, I do use the tools. Specifically, when I've already eaten or I'm just craving junk food, I remember to pick up the pen or the phone instead of picking up the spoon. And I work to prevent the compulsive activity and cravings by reading 1 to 3 paragraphs in the OA 12 and 12 every day and writing anywhere from one sentence to one page on each paragraph. And OA has taught me that it's okay to be a rebel and chase the high, just rebel against the food and my and get high from discovering and experiencing the miracles and serenity from my higher power or the steps or the tools or the love, experience, strength, and hope from my fellows. Again, I rebel against the junk food, not by picking up the spoon, but I pick up the pen. For example, I do a two-way prayer every day. And for people who don't know what a two-way prayer is when you write down a prayer to your higher power and you sit and meditate for a little bit and you wait for your higher power to respond and you write your higher power's response back to you through you. And I might do multiple two-way prayers throughout the day, not only about the food cravings, but I also do two-way prayers about situations in my life that cause me to have fear, resentment, and other sorts of pain. I used to be an atheist. Now I consider myself agnostic. Like Harlan G said, if God were small enough for me to understand him, he would not be big enough to help me. And I totally agree with that. Only I call my higher power Divine Mother Goddess because I feel like the female side of God doesn't get enough love and attention. And I've been instructed in this program that I can understand my higher power how I need to. And I found a spirituality in OA. I found my higher inner self. I found God, good orderly direction. And I know that I have an allergy of the body and a compulsion of the mind. It's a disease, but like other illnesses, it can be treated. And my mandatory medication to treat this disease is the pen, i.e. writing, reading the literature and prayer and the phone with my sponsor and other fellows, service in and out of the program and living the steps and maintaining conscious contact with my higher power through my thoughts, through my prayers, through my actions. And sorry to beat a dead horse, but though a bit male-centered, I absolutely positively love the big book because I am desperate to rid myself of this addiction. And it works. Steps 1 through 12 in chapters, how it works in action and working with others. You know, it lays it right out. But I'll just focus the rest of my time on steps 10 and 11. I do step 10 a few ways, but the main way is by writing a daily entry in my, I showed this to people before, in my green 10-step notebook every day with my green pen. And I guess I'm rebelling against black ink, but I write any manifestations of defects of character I've had during that day or any successes I've had that day or the day before and how it made me feel and what I did or planned to do about it. Step 11 encourages me, and for me, it's a requirement to pray. And now, after reading Step 11 in the Big Book, when I pray, I no longer pray for myself, but I pray for others. And I only pray for myself insofar as it helps others. And this helps me to get out of my self-will. Self-will is my lower inner self. And while I consider my higher power, my higher inner self. So my self-will finds comfort, you know, at the bottom of fries from McDonald's or in a candy wrapper, while my higher inner self finds comfort and peace in writing or typing on my computer or my phone. But in some way, I get it out. I get that two-way prayer done. I have that conscious contact. And I consult my higher power for everything. I'm a lawyer, but I have really bad ADHD. And I take medication for that too, excuse me, but there's no medication that has cured me from my anxiety around execution at work. So I pray and it works. I pray as I've learned to pray in this program in Step 11. I usually start off with gratitude for what's working in my life. I pray for the health and welfare and happiness of others. Then I ask, you know, my goddess to guide my thoughts and actions, my hands and my brain, as I do the research and writing that I need to complete whatever task is before me so that I can help my clients and other people. And I'm happier and stronger now because I understand that the fear I have is just false evidence appearing real. Fear is a feeling. It's not a fact. And action based on the guidance of my higher inner self, my goddess, and the faith in the steps and in my higher power and in this fellowship can conquer anything the disease brings my way. And
give me that, Monica.
Okay. And because I'm a junk food addict, I also know that I'm in fit spiritual condition when I'm staying very close to leafy green vegetables and to water. Also, of course, attending meetings, listening to OA podcasts and qualifications and making calls and texts to my sisters and brothers in the steps. And I know that I'm powerless, but we are powerful because as it says in the OA Lifeline article called Power is OA, when two or more people come together to help each other, their combined effort is more powerful than any individual effort alone, put quite clearly. I can't stop overeating, but we can. Thank you for letting me share.